The question today is, what does the Bible say about hell? And this is part number three. We've looked at the fact that there's two words that describe translated hell, and that's the Hebrew word Sheol and the Greek word Hades, and both of them are equivalent, and it really means the place of the unseen world. And in Old Testament time, the place of all the dead went there, and oftentimes it's spoken of as the grave where all human activity ceased, because man cannot see beyond that. But there is a place in the Old Testament time, had two compartments, a good compartment, paradise, and a burning compartment in Hades. But when Jesus was resurrected, he emptied paradise and carried it into the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12 brings that out as far as where it's at. And today all that's in the heart of the earth is hell. And God never made it except for the hell. He made it for the devil and his angels. But man, when he chooses to reject light and comes to the place that he's defiled completely and crossed God's deadline and dies without hope and without God, God has no choice but to enlarge hell and therefore and send him to the place where the devil is going to be in that day. Now, what causes, and we dealt also with the errors concerning hell. In other words, there is no purgatory, and Luke 16 is not a parable. Hell is not the grave. That's just where the body goes, and you're not good enough for heaven, and you're also, some say that's the only way man can be convicted, by preaching on hell, and I showed you that it's God's goodness that leads you to repentance. But now, and some others say Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven, and that's error, because I've counted them more than once. Take your computer, take your Strong's Concordance or whatever concordance you use, look them up. You'll find that about 70-something times Jesus spoke about heaven, and 19 times he spoke about hell. And the book of John is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and it's written, and he never even mentions the word hell in the book of John. Hell is not something you use to scare somebody into making a false profession, because that's all it's going to be, is a false profession. You need the truth of God there, and that's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Now, when we think about what else the Bible says about hell, what causes you to enter hell? When do you enter hell? At death's door, you enter hell. The Bible says the rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He entered it the moment he died. Body went out there and was buried, no doubt, with pomp and circumstance as far as the rich man was concerned. But his soul and spirit left out of that body and went into hell at that time. Now, the Bible tells us this in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse number 43 through 48, as he warns us of some things. He said, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell far, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." So you see, Jesus, as he gave this lesson here, he gave a solemn warning of hell. And he talked about how that your hand can cause you to go to hell. Your foot can cause you to go to hell. Your eye can cause you to go to hell, because you get caught up by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and reject light. And when you reject light, because the Bible says there's a light that lighteth up every man in John 1:9. Titus 2:11 said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And so it would be better, he said, to cut off your foot and pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. If they're going to keep you persisting in sin and rejecting light, it'd be better for you to have one of them lose one of the members of your body, that you might receive light and receive the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you, it'd be better to enter into heaven saved than with one hand, because he's going to give you a glorified body, than it would to go to hell with two hands. Well, you realize something, hell is entered through death's door. Just that's what the entry is. If a man's not saved, there's his eternal abode. And of course, I do know that young people, it's safe until they reach a knowledge of accountability. And what age is, I don't know. But it's older than most people try to think, because you can't even think abstract till you reach at least puberty. And God's abstract and faith is abstract. So the Bible only has one place of the knowledge of accountability, and that's Deuteronomy 1:39, where it's talking about the children at Kadesh Barnea who didn't die in the wilderness. They were 20-year-old and under. And he said, because they had no knowledge of good and evil. So therefore, they're safe till they reach that time. But yet, when you reach that, then you reject light and die in that state, then death's door, you enter, your soul and spirit enters into hell. Now, what's the experience in hell? Well, we've looked before at the verses that we read, but we'll read them again, some of them, in the book of Luke here. And by the way, this is not a parable. This is truth. That Jesus spoke of a certain incident, but it said in verse number 23, this rich man died, 22 said, and was buried, and in hell, verse 23 said, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now you see, what he experienced in hell was he had time to look up. Before, all he had time to do was look out on all of his possessions, and to look down on others, especially Lazarus, that poor beggar that lay at his gate. But now he's got time to look up. Folks, it'd be good if we'd just stop and take time to look up toward God, and let God speak to our heart. But yet in hell, there'll be time to look up, but too late. And then also he cried out for mercy in hell. The Bible said in verse 24 of Luke chapter 16, the rich man, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, he didn't cry for justice because, you see, he knew that he needed mercy. Mercy is to keep me from getting what I deserve. But too late. He's already there. He cried to the wrong person, Abraham. Yeah, Abraham's not the Savior, even though he was a good man. The Lord Jesus is the one you need to cry out to. And he cried out too late. After death, it's too late. You need to cry out while the Lord is working, while the Holy Spirit's convicting. Because you can't be saved any other time unless the Holy Spirit's striving with you. And hell is a place of active and personal tortures. We just read that he said, I'm being in torments in verse 23 of Luke 16. In other words, the man sinned against the Lord actively and personally, and we all do that. We choose to sin against God actively and personally. Therefore, there will be active and personal torture in hell. Because he said, and it's bodily punishment, by the way, there's thirst, there's fire, there's suffering, there's weeping, there's wailing, there's gnashing of teeth. That's there that it talks about throughout the Bible. And there's a darkness there that's a continual falling. And some of science have said the hottest fire is the black fire. Well, the memory will not be erased there, because he said in verse number 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Remember. Remember what it was like for you on the earth? Remember what it was like for Lazarus on the earth? Remember what it was like for Lazarus now? Remember what it's like for you now? In other words, memory will not be erased, and that would be a bad thing to have the memory and remember all those times. But something else, there will be no gospel invitations there in hell. There will be no one to preach to you there and try to tell you how to live and what you ought to do and invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you'll say, boy, I wish I could get away from that gospel preacher. I wish I didn't have to deal with him. Well, in hell, you won't have to worry about him. And as we said, hell is described as like the Valley of Hinnom, which was the garbage dump of Jerusalem on the south side of Jerusalem. And there was a place where the maggots were in there. And the fire never ceased in that. And all but there's no way you can really describe the awfulness of hell. And another thing about hell, there's no God. And that's worst of all. You know, the worst thing about hell is that there's no God there. We sometimes say, well, I'm living on hell on earth. You better watch out. You're not living on hell on earth because you've got God around. He rises His sun every day, and He sets His sun every evening. He causes the flowers to bloom, the babies to be born. He shows His grace. He gives you breath to breathe. There's God around you today, and there'll be no God. That will be the worst thing about hell. There'll be no God. And and then we think about the eternality of hell. And I've said before, and let me say it again, hell is the Hades part is like a county jail. When man dies, there's where he goes. It's still a fire. It's still all the torments. But he'll come to a place at the great white throne judgment, which will be 1,000 years after the Lord comes back to this earth. and it's called the millennium reign during that time. And then there will be the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. And as a result, man, all the hell will give up those out of that place and stand before the holy God and have to give an account. They'll be judged by the books. The 66 books of the Bible will be there. The same, the word will judge me in the last day, the Bible says. And you need to pass the word judgment today. If you can't, it's not good enough to stand before God in that day. There'll also probably be the book of remembrances where every deed will be written down of what you did and things you said and all those things that was there and all that you did against God and against His church and against His people and against His preachers. They'll all be there. And then, of course, you'll try to make justification of your condition. But all what will happen is God says He'll take and cast all those that stood before the great white throne judgment, even though they're judged by works. But it's not to determine heaven or hell. They're already in hell, have been in hell. Now they're going to be cast in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Folks, right now, that's Gehenna. And right now, there's no one in that lake of fire. But the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Now, we know that when the Lord Jesus comes back again, sets His foot upon this earth, that there'll be a there'll be the false prophet and the Antichrist. They're going to be a beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the Antichrist, whatever you want to call them. Those names, those two parts of the unholy Trinity, are going to be the first two in Gehenna. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 20, after God has the battle of Armageddon, blood runs in the valley of Megiddo as He sets foot on the mount there in Jerusalem. He said, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. That is the final judgment, if you please. That is the they're the first two there. And then it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, this is after the devil's been chained for 1,000 years and he's let loose for a season together for the battle of Gog and Magog, Revelation 20 says. But Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Not where they were, but they're still there, burning, roasting, frying, and sizzling. And he says, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They're the first three that's in the lake of fire. And then we'll see that those then at the great white throne judgment will be cast in the lake of fire, whose names not written in the book of life will all be cast, thrown with force in the lake of fire. Why? Because God only made it for the devil and his angels, but men rejected the light and grace that God gave him, and God had no choice but to enlarge hell, enlarge the lake of fire, to receive everyone who choose to go the devil's way instead of the Lord's way. So hell is a real place. It's a real burning compartment. It's a real place of torture. It's the judgment of God. It's the condemnation of God. It's the wrath of God. And all that are not saved will suffer of that condemnation. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.